Welcome to Rafflecast Uncut, where we find out if porn is better when the girl looks like someone you know.
I would say it's even better when it's a guy that you know. Welcome, everybody, to a brand new edition of Rafflecast Uncut. Today, we're going to be discussing a lot of important issues. And to back to our intro,
yeah.
I get sad when I see a guy that's doing porn and he's not really that into it. I mean, there is going to
be... He's just not putting enough effort for you?
Exactly. How many people do you think are going to view that clip? In some cases, it's millions.
Could be.
Know what name everybody knows but no one will admit? Heather from My Deep Throat. No one will ever admit that they know who she is. But if any man saw her on the street, he would know instantly.
That woman has
been viewed billions of times. Because not even that hot of a chick, but her ability to swallow a cock is unfathomable. Fucking fathomable. I have this mic in front of me. That's how much you could deep throat.
Oh.
Yeah, so everyone listening at home, that's the perfect analogy for them. But you also get upset because the guy should be more into it for the fact that he's fucking this like moderately attracted, coked out girl.
Yeah.
And all of us would love to switch positions with him. When he's not into it, I'm like, I wish there was a way I could just swap out with him because I'd be far more into it than he would be.
Be performing way better.
Well, I wouldn't even know if I perform better. Perform's a strong word because I'd be like, listen, my time in there would be a lot shorter than his. I mean, I go from an hour porno down to like 14 minutes, but that's with foreplay, ladies. But I wouldn't like, I'd put more of my heart into it. You know,
he's very passionate about this topic.
Well, also, I realize I'm thinking a lot about guys when I'm watching porn, which I realize is a little gay.
Why? Why would you think about the guys when you're watching porn?
I want people that have like that really care about their craft. I like people who are passionate about what they
yeah.
do. And when you see some like little Mexican kid who can keep an erection for a long time and he has a huge dick,
yeah.
and he's just kind of pumping really slowly into Ash Hollywood, you're like, come on, she deserves a better dick than that. Lexi Bell's been had 1,000 dicks inside of her.
Yeah.
You think that this is gonna impress her?
Probably
you know, if you were going to play a song for Gene Simmons,
yeah.
would you play like a 3-chord Blink-182 song or would you go with something a little bit more complicated?
Yeah, but you got to like put yourself in their shoes. If this is their job and this is all they do, it's
yeah.
got to, there comes a point where it's like they don't even give a shit anymore.
So to become
just like, I don't care.
So if that's the case,
they don't care about performing well. They're just like, I get paid my money.
Yeah. They become sedentary.
Yeah.
being
a porn star.
So every man who's always like, man, I'd love to be a porn star. I would love to be the like out there fucking all these chicks. Apparently, your dick gets numb to it, or at least your feelings do, and sex isn't even fun for you anymore. If you're railing Lexi Bell and your heart's not into it,
mm-hmm.
then clearly you're broken inside.
Something's wrong with you mentally and emotionally.
God gave us this beautiful, slutty girl that allows everyone on the planet to watch her get railed. And
yep.
she's so pretty. She's these big, she's like a Disney princess. She shouldn't even exist in the porn world.
Mm-hmm.
She's way too, the reason it's awesome is because she looks way too sweet to be in porn.
Yeah.
And if you can enjoy that, then maybe being a male porn star isn't all it's cracked out to be.
It's not.
Listen, I actually wrote a poem about a guy's dick once.
I'm disappointed that you refer to me as some guy.
You're not just some guy to me. Let's say it was a very short poem.
Oh man!
Speaking of,
was it a haiku?
Well, you know what? It's funny. I don't know. 575. Okay. What's new with you, man? It's the uncut.
What's new with me?
What's new with you?
I don't know, dude. Everything? Nothing? I don't know. There's lots of stuff new.
Your girlfriend moved in here.
She did.
Did we talk about that on the last
No, week? We didn't.
She's flown in from
Vancouver.
Uzbekistan, where
Uzbekistan.
His mail order bride has arrived in the mail, and let's just say, not as advertised.
Yeah, she's moved here. She lives with me now, and me and my roommate. So
mm-hmm.
it's been good. It's been really good. It's nice to have a female influence around the apartment because there are times when a bunch of single guys living together kind of, I don't know.
Well, it wasn't always like that. I listened to one of the first ones we did together, and I was learning Chris's ex's name.
Yes.
But now you guys have swapped positions.
We have, actually. Because
what's
we first
it like to
in?
Sleep in the room where you guys have both masturbated in? Can you smell it? And do you worry about it getting on the walls? Because I don't know about you, but I never wash my walls.
I'm not deeply concerned.
I've never... Do you do it into a towel?
I don't do it into the wall.
Yeah, but there's never been an instance where you're just going really hard and just like it shoots. It just fucking shoots. Or what I do is I put this barrier in front of it like a sail.
Yeah.
And like I hold it in front. But sometimes it shoots right through the tissue. Because I don't like getting on top of my dick.
Yeah.
Because then it sticks to the top and you have that weird thing. You have to like pull off the strands of like the wet, damp, mucky tissue off your penis.
Mm-hmm.
And then it gets into your urethra and you're fucking these little white fibers. I can see them really easy because my dick is ultra brown.
Very descriptive.
I'm like medium milky brown, but my penis is about as brown as it gets.
Yeah.
It is dark down there. It looks like a black hole as soon as you unzip my pants, which explains why large things are attracted to it.
Oh.
I had a fat girl try to hit on me the other day. It was ridiculous.
You weren't having it?
No, because when I was fat and fat girls would hit on me, I'm like, I deserve this. This is my fault. I'm like, listen, like the point is that women should never have the confidence to hit on a guy if they're ugly. That's all I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
But yeah, now that
very nice.
And also, okay, let's go back to this cum thing. How do you trap it? How do you stop it from going out like everywhere?
It's called a shower.
You do it in the shower.
Yeah.
I think that actually might be more disgusting.
I don't think so.
It turns into cement in the shower. It gets all weird and sticky. Do you use like shampoo or anything for it?
Like what, to clean it off? Or what are you talking about?
Let's start pre-roll and post-roll. I have two different lotions I use on my penis for this. There's baby oil in my shower and I tell people it's because I have sensitive skin.
Uh-huh.
But really, it's to lube up my cock I like to just squirt it all over my body and just rub my entire
the lube?
Body down. The baby oil. And then I just get right in there. And I go with two hands and I rub it like you're rubbing the edges of a pyramid together. And I clap at the end. I'm like, that's the sound you'll hear in the shower.
You have control over direction to a certain extent.
And maybe you do. Mine comes out like scattershot.
You know, the benefit of a shower is that there's soap there and you have like, you know, a shower head.
Right.
And if it's movable, you can clean things off and you don't have to worry so much about it.
Do you use any lube in there or just let the water do the work?
Well, it depends. Could be either or.
Here's what I use. I use an Aveeno. Aveeno treated wheat, soft wheat, on my penis pre-roll.
So it
makes the testes and the penis really, really soft. If I'm doing manscaping that day, I will use a gentle exfoliant.
Uh-oh,
but
okay.
You have to be
really gentle, eh?
Really gentle. And then after I'm done, you know, exuding my disgustingness, I use a Dove moisturizer, which really locks in the moisture.
Mm-hmm.
And let's just say this, my penis is ultra soft.
Oh.
But that's because I can't get erections anymore. That's why it's always soft. Not like the actual skin feeling of it.
This went from what's new with you
to masturbating.
I think we just got our episode name. There we go.
Episode 52, masturbating.
Yeah.
Masturbating.
I don't know, man. There's been a lot going on. I'm trying to get into like my own sort of production stuff that I'm doing. Flip it over. And yeah, I've got a bunch of
very
other
sexy
things.
Business card. I love the shit out of that. I can't do that though.
Yeah.
Because my Twitter is at Future Abby.
Yes.
I mean, at Achilles. What?
Yes. Jesus. What?
That's the new host.
Yes. He doesn't exist yet. So, I don't know. I've had a lot going on. Got band stuff happening. Got some shows coming up. Going to be doing another Buck Naked Track.
Well, what kind of
track.
Shows? Let's talk about the Buck Naked Track.
The next Buck Naked Track?
Did we talk about it? We played it, right? We played the Facebook song?
At the end of the last episode.
Yeah, so you guys heard the song on the last cut. That's Shane's fucking song, dude. That's the song that they made.
Yeah.
So we didn't actually talk about it. Let's talk
Not
about
really.
It. Let's talk about the video, too. And we have so much to talk about.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I wrote all these dick jokes, and you know what's next on my list? I'll eat a dick. That's literally what it says, on my laptop.
Yeah,
I will eat a dick.
I'm glad we found something other to go to.
We need to go back to that subject.
Because
I feel like I need to explain why I would eat a dick. And it's not an actual dick. It's a figurative dick. But let's talk about your Buck Naked. So this is like a side project you're doing where you're making songs that are funny.
Yeah, so basically what happened was one night there was a group of us at a recording studio that I hang out at. We were all drinking, and we were trying to write a pop song because we were like, you know what? Let's get a really, really hot girl singer. Let's write a pop song for her, and let's get her in the studio, and let's like try to do something that's super mainstream.
Right.
And we got about halfway through writing the like synth lines and the, you know, the drums and whatnot, and then we were like, you know what? because we were trying to write lyrics and shit, and we were like, we're not fucking cut out to write.
How does one write? Can you give me any lyrics? You remember any of them?
Of the original ones?
Yeah, I was ooh boy, I need you. Let's go to the mall.
That was the problem. And so we were like, you know what? Fuck this. Why don't we do something that we want to do that's fun?
Yeah.
And so we started.
that wasn't your first thought? You're like, let's just do this other thing. It's like, let's enjoy what we're doing, maybe.
Because originally it was more of like, let's try to do something that's different. Yes, yeah. Let's do a test. Let's do something that's different. And then it turned into, you know what? Fuck it. Let's do something that's fun and interesting.
Right.
And that we all want to be a part of. And so Nathan started riffing on kind of like this idea of making fun of Facebook.
Right.
And making fun of people on Facebook and how people kind of act differently when they're on Facebook as opposed to how they are in reality.
Right.
And it kind of stemmed from there. We started like riffing on lines, wrote some melodies, wrote some lyrics, and eventually.
And as I claim, and I've claimed this on other podcasts, I did write something, but I never got any credit. And there is no proof.
We have no proof. And we don't know.
No proof. Although if you look through your text messages, you will see something you've texted.
I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know. I could be making this up. I've claimed about 40% of your writing on most of the I show people your Living Illusion album, and I'm like, yeah, I wrote that.
That was me.
Those are sad and depressing songs. I'm like, that's how I feel on the inside.
Yeah.
It makes me look deep. Anyway, go on.
Well, the Facebook song, it took us about 3 years to actually get from the beginning of the song to the actual music video. And my roommate, Chris, harassed me for like, I don't know, every month for all 3 years to finish it. We eventually ended
up... Well, because you kept humming the fucking tune, but you never fucking finished the song.
Well, I sent him a copy of it so he could hear the unfinished version. He's like, finish the fucking song. So, you know, last summer, summer 2012, we ended up renting a theater in Edmonton, and we got a whole bunch of like dancers and choreographers and video production people, lighting guys, film guys, and a whole bunch of
guess people. Who was not invited to the set, even though I explicitly asked.
I invited you down.
You did not, sir.
I totally did.
You did not.
On none of the days.
None of the days. And I asked. I was like, fucking tell me come down. But you were busy. You probably forgot.
I could have sworn I invited you down. Didn't I invite you down? I thought you came to the Meyer Horowitz when we were shooting in the theater.
No, I didn't.
I apologize. I'm an asshole.
It's okay. No, it's okay. You were busy, obviously. I'm not going to fucking like it.
Well, it was a long day.
Yeah, and you guys, like, this music video is fucking unreal. We linked to it on the last podcast, but like, it is such high production. And I want to break that down. Like, let's talk about the production of it. What kind of cameras are you using? And this is going to be fucking fascinating for the people at home. But
yeah. Well, we rented a RED camera for one of the days to
shoot.
And that was the day that we were in the theater. And it's like a $200,000 camera with all the lenses we had.
Yeah.
And the shots that we got out of it were just amazing. They happened about 2/3 of the way through the music video.
How much do they cost for all this shit?
It's tough to say. The difficulty or, you know, the troubles with giving you a number is that we had a whole bunch of people come and donate their time.
Of course.
Because they heard the song and they wanted to just get involved. Totally. We kind of told them what we were doing and they all wanted to be a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
In total, there was about 30 plus people that was involved with the whole process.
I was involved.
No, you weren't. So we had a lot of different things going on in regards to like how to assess what it was going to cost. And some people that we didn't know were going to be putting in money actually put in money.
That's incredible.
Not just their time. So it's difficult to say, but if I were to give you some kind of a number like of time and people's like all that stuff, it's probably somewhere like the $20,000 range.
Fuck. So like if you were to make it without all the handouts, how much do you think it would cost?
That would have been how much?
$20,000?
Yeah.
Fuck. Fuck!
Yeah, it would have been about that much.
That's a lot of goddamn money.
It comes down to the gear, the people's time, and locations. Because when you're getting locations, like we shot inside of the International Airport.
Yeah.
We shot inside like a local theater that's like really well known.
Did you have to rent those places out?
We had
out?
To pay to, yeah,
rent and that stuff. What about the airport?
The airport, we got through a relationship that just one of the people in the crew had, and they managed to get us back there.
So it's mostly about who you know.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. No if, and, or but. Like, we would not have been able to get that kind of production without the people that we knew. And the funny thing about it is, like, reflecting on it, the production that we got and, like, how far we took it, it's questionable if we needed to take it that far in order to get the traction.
I think
it
lends to it that you did take it that far. That's what makes the joke a million times funnier. And that you guys, like, that's a big part of like our humor is that we take it to the most extreme
that you can.
We get really deep into like in that, and that's what I think why the like music video in my mind was so successful. Like I think you guys did a great job, although I'd love to see more of you in it.
Yes. Well, that was one of the things, like, we kind of had, initially we had a whole bunch of story concepts and ideas and different stuff, but when it came down to it, we just had to shoot.
And you know what? It's better this way. It's better without any sort of, the way that you guys did it as a boy band video.
Well, like, it's more like...
So funny.
It's more like a boy bandy kind of 90s rap-ish hip-hop type video.
Stylistically. What I think, yeah, it's like Ricky J, No Means No video.
I'd love to see it.
It's a very straight... It's this guy, and he's trying to rap, and he's a white guy, and there's, like, choreographed dancers, and then a roller rink, and a girl like looks like Claire Ferrani. It's a very obscure reference, and I feel like we should stop talking about it right now.
Okay.
Let's keep going.
Well, so the idea and concept of the project, like, it's called Buck Naked, and we're going to be doing a series of videos. Like, that one's not going to be the only one, and the other songs we're going to do, each video is going to be a different concept and a different, like, stylistically. We're going to be dressed differently.
Are you guys going to switch out for who's singing and stuff?
Oh, yeah. We're all going to be doing different turns. Like, everything about the Facebook song was super organic. Like, nobody was really, like, everything was just like
no ego got in the way.
Yeah, it was just like hey, let's just go do this, let's try this, let's do that. So on the next track, like, we've already got some stuff laid down. We're just sort of working on lyrics right now and trying to figure out, like, there's gonna be a rap part, there's gonna be singing parts, there's gonna be a bunch of other stuff, and I'm looking forward to it. Hopefully our idea is to shoot it this summer again, and the amount of stuff that we learned between the last video and the next one we're gonna do is just incredible.
Absolutely.
Like, we've got so much more experience in regards to how to do this and how to make things run better. We'll be able to do it for quite a bit more affordably, although we will still need people to donate their time, and that's the biggest thing. Like, if we can get enough traction out of the first video to get people still excited about being involved in the next one, then it makes it a lot easier.
Mm-hmm. And also, because you guys have this under your belt already, all the shit that you guys had to, like, kind of go back and fix, you won't have to do that anymore. You'll be like, oh, we know it works already, even though it doesn't work. What's the joke for this next one? Do you want to reveal that, or do you want to keep that a little close to the chest?
I'm going to keep it close to the chest for now, because we're still not 100% on it.
Sure.
And, yeah. We'll just go with that.
So stay tuned, motherfuckers. Some shit's coming out. So we'll see that in 2018, I guess. Is that when the official launch date of the next song will be?
Well, it's supposed to be this summer. Like, ideally, we're going to shoot this summer. So I imagine sometime between, like, September, October. But I don't really want to say for sure, just because I don't know. Like, my personal preference, like, you and I both are very busy people in general, and we only have so many available hours in the day. But that's a project that I am actually really excited about, and I would love to start getting that more turnkey and, like, trying to do, like, you know, 4 videos a year.
That's a lot.
You know, or make an album. Because right now the way we're doing it is just one song, one video. One song, one video.
Well, that's the way a lot of our artists do it, right? They'll put out their singles until they gain traction, and then when they do that, they'll drop an album. And then they'll put all the old content that they already made into it. Like, you could do it Lonely Island style. I think that's the best way to do it, is just to make videos.
That's kind of what we're doing.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. Yeah, and then after 12 videos, you can put on an album or whatever the number is. Okay, let's... I gotta talk about this. So I had a problem with my bowels.
Okay.
Yeah. So let's get back to this.
back to this, eh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Everything has to come back to some sort of bodily function. Because here at Rafflecast, we believe in the high road. So I was having some bowel issues. I had to go to the bathroom, like, a lot for a while because I had, like, flu or something. And I was just like, fucking, it was the floodgates of hell down there. It was just explosions.
Very coming ill.
Out. I was pissing out of my asshole.
Very
it was
ill. Brutal. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I want to play coy about this, but it was disgusting. I didn't enjoy any of this. And so I was at a big box retailer, and I don't use public restrooms because I'm terrified of them. I think it's disgusting. And I went to the first stall and it was flooded. And I was like, okay, obviously I can't use that. Or, like, the toilet was backed up, so I can't use that. So I had to use the handicap stall. And I have a weird thing about using handicap stalls, because I feel like, even though it's clean or whatever, I can't not think about that a retard has also used this. I know that, like, it doesn't, like, it's like a handicap parking spot. But knowing that that handicap person was in there, I just feel like it's extra dirty.
Oh, yeah.
I need, like, some sort of super bleach every single time. I need to remove the toilet seat each time. Because I don't really know a lot about Down syndrome, but I don't know if it can be transferred by a toilet seat or not.
Very evolved of you.
Thank you. And also, let's get off track for a minute.
Okay.
It's going to be weird for us to do that. If someone has a mental disability, can they also go to the disabled parking spots? Can they park in the disabled parking spots? Or is it only people with a physical disability? And also, if they can park in those spots, why are retards allowed to drive?
Why? Well,
can you just talk me through life? Teach
okay,
me
so
life.
It depends on the severity of the issues that they have. Okay. There are people with certain mental illnesses that are more than capable
Google
to
this.
Drive.
I'm going to Google, can people with Down syndrome drive?
Well, I don't know enough about Down syndrome specifically.
I'm worried because her eyes are really narrow. That's what I'm concerned about.
I don't know about Down syndrome specifically.
Right.
But I know there are cases where people might have some form of a mental issue, but they can still drive. And whether they get the handicap symbol or like the thing in their car or not is an entire separate issue. Because that has to do more with mobility. That doesn't have to do so much whether they have a mental issue. The mental issue side of it is like, number one, they have to go through a series of stuff in order to be able to drive in the first place.
Yeah, they have to go through a test at one point.
Yeah, like
to be able to
my
do it.
Brother has special needs. He cannot drive.
We can't ever discuss that because it just makes because that's real. All right,
it is real,
and he's a fucking wonderful human being.
Yeah,
and I like him a lot. So. When we make fun of these people, we're making fun of everybody but Alan.
When you make fun of those people.
Yeah, wait, excuse me? We're in this together, motherfucker. If I'm going down, I'm dragging your ass with me. Yeah, apparently there is a thread on Yahoo Answers. Can people with Down syndrome drive? There are no laws on the subject. So as long as they pass a road test, they're good to go.
Yeah, and that's the biggest thing, right? But again, in order to pass that, you need to be able to reach a certain level of capacity.
Yeah, a little level of comprehension. Now, when I look at let's back to the toilet thing. So I sucked it up because I knew that the explosion that would happen. There's no containing it. I'm not gonna wear an adult diaper. I wear skinny jeans, bitch. You'll see it.
Yeah.
So I decide to suck it up, and I'm forever unclean. I use a public bathroom that is a retard stall, although very roomy. I will say that super roomy.
Usually they're cleaner too.
yeah, because not a lot of people. See, I think
not
a lot of people
lot
feel
of people don't go in there.
Yeah, people feel the same way I do. They don't want to get their retard germs.
No, they
on there.
Don't. Use them because they're not supposed to. They're for people with special needs.
Are those seriously reserved just for people with
they're
special
needs? They're
supposed
to be.
I think it should be anybody, but there's just one specially just a little bit bigger in case there's... I know people that have to take off all their clothes before they use a bathroom.
All of their clothes.
That's a real thing. It's a very common thing. I have no idea. I swore on my life.
All their clothes.
All of their clothes.
Who the fuck has to take off all their clothes?
Quince, I know two people who do it and both black.
Just what?
I don't know.
I got to take a leak. I just undo my pants.
They do take off everything.
You know?
Their shirt.
Pull my boxer briefs down and take a piss.
Absolutely.
Who needs to take off their pants and shirt?
I have no... where's the shirt factor into any of this? I don't know. I don't
this
understand.
Is a thing.
Yeah.
You're not just fucking with me.
I swear. This is an actual real thing.
Oh, my God.
It's a real problem all with right, people. Right. They have to take off all their clothes if they go to the bathroom.
What did Tobias have when he was...
Never nude. He was never nude.
Never nude.
Yeah,
never
but I wonder how that works at the bathroom. Do you just you can wear a t-shirt, I guess. we're talking about Tobias Funke from Arrested Development, if anyone doesn't know. That's when weird that you say Tobias and I'm being like, no, exactly.
You know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
When does that start, by the way, on Netflix?
I think this summer.
Yes.
House of Cards just came out on Netflix, Kevin Spacey series. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know that guy that recently retired from acting that we talked about on the podcast? Yeah, he's still acting. He just lied about it. So the one next to me was flooded. I was in the other stall using it.
Yeah.
And someone walks in that other stall and I'm like, bitch, that's flooded. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
And then he pushes the flush thing. So now realize I'm going to teach you guys something very valuable here. If there's a toilet filled to the brim with shitty water, if you press flush, more water will be added to that and it'll just overflow. I don't know what he was expecting the outcome would be. He's like, oh, maybe I should just do this.
Okay, so wait, were you in the special needs stall?
I was in special needs stall right adjacent to it. Just right next to it. He wasn't in my stall flushing me, although I would pay someone to do that. And then when he did that, it flooded clearly. And then there was this river of shit and piss that started flooding everywhere around me. And it was like Temple of Doom when there was like scarabs running at them. And he's trying to lift up his feet. He's like, oh God, how do I do this? So I end up pulling I pick up my shoes. I stand on the actual toilet. Like I lift myself, I stand on the toilet. I'm squatting and then I do my cleaning, which involves a lot of weeping. And once I'm clean, I leap. I'm standing on top of the toilet seat in this weird squat position, and then I flush it down. I leap from the toilet, which I'm standing on, to the door and slam into it. I'm like, oh, I like land on it. I'm like holding onto it and it swings open. So it swings back into the room over the shitty water as I'm swinging back and forth on this bouncing fucking door, going back and forth, trying to avoid the fucking river of shit. And the guy who did it, he was like, oh, fuck. And he ran out. He's an asshole. He knew it was another stall. He saw that. He tried to get into my stall. He saw it was occupied. He went back and did. He knows he's a motherfucker. And you, bitch, I'm looking for you. If you see anyone with New Balance, white New Balance shoes, you punch him in the face for me.
All right.
Every motherfucker on the planet wearing white New Balances better be aware that I'm coming for those motherfuckers for flooding it. So that was my that no wine.
Wait. Did you get shit on your shoes?
I did not get any shit on my shoes.
Hey, it well
was,
done, sir.
When the river was coming, I immediately jumped up, and luckily I was about finished. Yeah. And so there was this weird in between part where I was finishing in the squatting position, sitting on top of it like some sort of Chinese hermit. And I was like, oh, this is terrifying. But I was really impressed with how nimble I was at that point. So I swing around the edge and I jump over the thing and finally get out of there. Next day, I'm at Booster Juice.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it comes. It hits me like a fucking hurricane. I'm like, there's a tornado of shit that's about to happen. I need to go. So I give the girl my order and I run to the bathroom and I close the door. I thought I locked it. I didn't. So I hear rattling at the door, and there's a big, well, I don't know why, Booster Juice is so fucking tiny. Why do they have the world's biggest bathroom? To the point where you can't reach the door from the
seat.
From
the toilet? Okay.
So I had to, mid-spray, it was like, and then mid-spray, I had to clamp, because a tiny girl walks in, and she's in all the way. Kids don't have that thing where they open the door, take a peek around, and whatever.
They
just walk right fucking in. And I'm like, wait, and I stood up to close the door, and then I had this weird eye line where I saw her. She saw my penis because my pants are completely down, and I'm like, and there's my asshole is still shitty as I'm standing up, running for the door with my pants around my legs, trying to shut it. And this girl walks in, and she stops and she freezes. And kids don't have great reaction times. She's standing there for a full minute, and I'm like, get out! And I have to get up and like push her out. Like I put my dirty hand on her forehead and I just shove her out the door and slam it. But there was a moment where she was making eye contact with me, and I could see her parents in the background, also with the shock look on their face.
Yeah.
And because it's tiny, I have to walk back out there when I'm done and walk past this whole family, just on me with literally caught with my pants down in front of their kid.
Yeah. So they too know it's tiny.
Yeah, exactly. Then I saw how that girl looked into my penis like it was a black hole. She was like, what is that? You know, it's like the sacred slug.
Oh, my God, man.
She's going to be terrified of black slugs until the day she dies. She'll never be able to garden ever again. Anytime she sees anything long, slimy, brown with antennas on it, she's going to be fucking scared out of her mind. She'll remember my dick.
So I'm just glad you haven't had to go punish my toilet yet.
Oh, this was minutes ago, so I'm
you're much better. This happened like 17 minutes before you got here.
It was really fucking tough on me, and luckily to say I'm all cured. I'm no longer ever go to the bathroom. I haven't gone to the bathroom in weeks.
Soda shut.
I feel better. Like I feel like a better person because of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's what I'm trying to say is never get diarrhea.
Okay.
Essentially
don't drink heavily and get hungover.
Maybe that's what it was. Maybe I had beer shits. I don't know. I stopped drinking like a long time ago. So when I start drinking again, I get horrible beer shits.
Yeah.
But it's almost worth it depending on the beer. Because you know when you're drinking, you're like, I'm going to be paying for this motherfucker.
Yeah.
But then you're like, you're drinking it and you're like, this is pretty fucking tasty. Mm-hmm. And it's Super Bowl weekend. We're going to have to fucking drink. We don't have a choice.
That's true.
Do you have any plans for Super Bowl? Are you a football guy?
Not really. And that's the answer to both those questions.
Super Bowl is a tough thing because people want to go to bars and do it, but the bars are going to be super fucking crowded. Not only that, but you have to
get them. Will they, though?
They will.
You think so?
Hell yeah. Think of Brewster's or Canadian Brew House.
Yeah, but it ain't no Stanley Cup.
Yeah, but it's football still big enough. I mean, it's the Super Bowl. It's the most watched broadcast in the world.
But who is it? Who's playing? Do you even know?
I don't fucking know.
Yeah, see?
Jesus Christ.
Like, that's like
Ravens and like Ohio. Ohio's a team?
I don't know. I'd watch it if there was like bigger teams or teams that I was more interested in. Like the Steelers be an interesting.
Yeah, well, like I'm a Steelers fan. I have been a Steelers fan forever. Old co-host Dom is also a big Steelers fan, so of course it. But Ravens and 49ers are playing. I think 49ers are going to take it. Ravens is a really good team. It might be their year, but I think 49ers can give them a run.
The San Francisco 49ers?
Yes.
Oh.
The 50-1ers?
Yeah.
Is that better?
Jesus.
And now that you have to commit a lot because you have 5 hours in a bar essentially, at 5.5, maybe even longer in a bar, because an hour and a half mid-game show, you have, or a halftime show, you have like a huge, like long opener, like 5 hours of pregame, and then you have the actual game itself, which really is only 20 minutes of action over 4.5
Well, it's like
hours.
A long event. It's like they make it a full-on spectacle.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's... Like,
I've never been in a bar for longer than 7 hours, and I don't really plan. Actually, that's a lot. I have. Absolutely.
I have as well.
Yeah, who am I kidding? Oh, that is so sad that that's been the case.
That's a thing.
But now I'm more excited about UFC 156 happening. I have my picks down.
It's tonight, isn't it?
Yes. Anyone who wants to join up, you can join up if you go to RalphCast.com. You can see the counter move pool we have there, and it goes on. There's it's 20-man pool. It goes on every week. We have 3 spots available. So we might be opening up to 25. So if anyone wants to join that, you guys are welcome to play on Counter Move. It's a free betting website for and we have like dollar games, we have free games, and then you just bet on the fights, and it's fucking awesome. Do you do any sports betting at all?
Sports betting?
Yeah.
I've done 0 in my life. The only betting I've ever done is in Vegas, usually at the Hold'em tables.
Speaking of Vegas, I've never been. There's like, I don't have any desire
really
to
gamble,
go.
Though.
I don't gamble. I barely drink.
Wait a minute, but you just said you bet on UFC fights.
I do.
You're gambling.
Well, I use the free,
not,
free one.
Oh.
Yeah, so I don't actually put money.
Actually using money?
Technically, it's against my religion, but it's a gamble.
Well, I remember when we fucking, the first time I met this motherfucker.
Yeah.
It was, we were playing a night of Hold'em, and everyone was putting
That's right.
It was like $10. We weren't even putting in $20. It was like $10.
Yeah,
it was like 6 guys, and Achilles is the 7th man out, and he's just sitting next to the fucking poker table.
Just having
in
a drink.
In a chair, having a drink, and he's sitting on his laptop.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? I'm like, why aren't you playing? He's like, I don't gamble. It's against my religion.
And that's like, how I said it.
That's exactly how I said it. I was like, against your religion?
Yes, sir.
And after knowing this guy for a week, all I can think in my head is, what fucking religion would accept this guy into it?
What religion hates minorities, gays, and people that are different? Christianity. Come on, Buddhism. Leave Buddhism out of that.
Touche,
right?
Touche.
Yeah. Christianity. Like, listen, I'm a bigot, but that's because I'm a Christian. that's the reason I'm a bigot.
But kind of back to Vegas, I think if you went, you'd still have fun. Because Vegas is more about like an entertainment culture and like having a good time.
Listen, people don't fascinate me at all. And then like, although the spectacle of seeing this fucking massive, incredible, like, construct in the middle of the desert. Like, there was nothing can live there. There, know why there aren't any grizzly bears in California? California used to be overrun with grizzly bears. It was like a really, really popular spot for them. They were all killed, and I think the last one was killed in 1910. About the 1850s is when they started wiping them all out. And the reason they haven't been able to repopulate, because Nevada is separating them from Colorado. So they haven't been able to travel
across
that desert.
Yeah.
But there is one animal that can travel across that desert, the fucking mountain lion.
Yeah.
So anytime you're like... So yeah, the mountain lions keep coming south, which is awesome. It's weird to think that in a country of 300 million people, smaller than the size of Canada, they have such lush wildlife still surviving there. Mm-hmm. But it's comforting to know that there's enough people there dumb enough to try to wipe out an entire indigenous species.
Yes.
So grizzly bears in California, no longer. There's a bear on their flag, and they murdered all of them. It's just a weird fucking dynamic down there. And then Vegas is another weird thing, because someone looked at the middle of the desert, and you'd be like, no, it'd be amazing if we just build the largest fucking hotels in the world right here, where no life can be sustained. Every drop of water you use there is piped in.
But you know why it all started, though, right? Like, that was... it was essentially mobsters wanted to have a gambling town, and gambling was outlawed. And so they were like, fuck it,
except
let's
in Nevada.
Go.
Yeah,
well,
Nevada
no, good. But this is like before Nevada even existed. And so they were like, fuck it, let's just go to this place where there is no cops. There is no jurisdiction. Nobody has like land in this area, and let's just build everything.
Wow.
And it kind of started from that sort of like...
It's a mob town.
Essentially, yeah.
Holy shit.
Well, and you know how Hollywood started. Like,
no, I don't.
Okay, so Hollywood started because...
We're going to find out how Shane was born. Hollywood origins.
Well, it was... So... Well, so basically, it was Edison. Was it? I'm pretty sure it was Edison.
Yeah.
Okay, so he invented the...
Light bulb.
Yes. Yes, but he also invented making film, moving pictures.
I had no idea.
And in order for people to make films, they had to license it from him. Like, they had to license his technology.
Oh, my God.
And if you didn't do it, you couldn't make a movie.
Mm-hmm.
He had the lockdown for all film. There was no way to do it without paying him.
That's incredible.
So a bunch of guys got together, were like, fuck this. They went to the other side of the country because he was based in New York. They went down to Hollywood and they started making movies there.
Literally the opposite end of the country.
They were essentially making pirated films because it was illegal to make a movie without paying him his royalties.
Oh my God.
And so they went to the other side of the country and did it.
What kind of, like, what, that must have been early era, so it was like the 20s, right?
Earlier? Yeah, in that era.
That would be like, yeah, what, 1918 first film, right?
1910, 1920.
Okay. Yeah, so it was like super early films. So are there any famous films? Probably a lot of famous films are bootleg then.
Well,
I don't know if it's a Gone with the Wind big, but there must be some like larger
films. Yeah, I'm sure of it. And this was, again, during the origins of that era.
That's fucking amazing.
But it was like, that's how it started. And it's kind of funny that it's come full circle now in the sense that people are now pirating movies and you have these people that originally kind of started as pirates that are
frustrated. What a weird fucking dynamic that is. The people that are attacking us for downloading the shitty copies of Reindeer Games that we all download. There's one movie that everyone downloads. It's Reindeer Games. I don't know why.
Yeah, well,
that's not true at all. I've never seen that movie. Yeah, if you have, I hate you. There should be people who are prosecuted, but only for shitty movies. You download The Dark Knight, you're a curious human being who appreciates cinema. If you download Silver Linings Playbook, you should be cast out of society.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of Silver Linings Playbook, have you watched
the Oscar
films?
I haven't seen it.
I watched like one Oscar film, but like, what is it with females that have to watch all the Oscar films? They know the movie isn't good. They know that they today I had a conversation and the girl was like, oh yeah, I have to watch all, like, Silver Linings Playbook and Lincoln, but I know it's gonna be really long and boring, but I have to watch it. I'm like, why?
Like all the nominated ones?
Yes. But they have to watch all the films. Like, we do a movie podcast, we didn't watch shit.
Well, that's not true. But again, I think from my perspective at least,
yeah,
my time is valuable. So if I'm going to pick the ones that I'm going to watch, number one, it's going to be the ones that I'm actually interested in.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, I'll watch whatever the winner is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's more just to see what movie won.
And you know what? There's a bunch of old white people in a committee that decide the Oscars. None of them know what I like. If you just showed them a picture of me, it's like, if you could pick out a movie for this guy, what would you pick? You'd be like, oh, I don't know, Avatar. They wouldn't know me. Like, they don't know me. So when they give them these arbitrary awards for it, they don't really matter to me because I'm like, well, these people don't know me. They don't know what I like. The space awards are probably more fucking up my alley than these things are. Like, the Sci-Fi Channel's fucking shitty award show is probably better than what these guys know.
Well, they do try, like, I will give them some credit in the sense of trying to not just pick, like, the highest grossing films. And as much as The Avengers is an amazing film. They do pick like artistic films and stuff that's a little more independent and wouldn't
pseudo artistic. Yeah. And they're not even real independent movies. They're fake independent movies.
But I mean, movies that wouldn't otherwise get the recognition that they do deserve in some cases.
The reason these movies aren't on wide release, even though they're like done by Sony Pictures Classics or Paramount or Weinstein's, is because the movies aren't that good. They're art house movies. They know most people won't like them. Do you think Hurt Locker went wide later on? But beforehand, it was a small movie because people were like, oh, this movie's not that great. But then we were all tricked into thinking that movie was good.
I still didn't watch it.
There was a 4-minute scene of a plastic bag. I know you love that shit because your favorite movie is fucking American Beauty.
It wasn't 4 minutes. It was not 4 minutes.
Fuck that. Fuck that movie. Fuck Catherine Bigelow. Fuck all female directors except for Sofia Coppola.
Well.
And the girl who did
that's an opinion.
Warzone, Punisher Warzone and Green Street Hooligans. I'll give her a pass too. She's pretty legit.
Yeah.
Female directors aside, we talked about what our picks would be on the Oscars, but I don't think that there'll ever be a time, like now that there's a democratization of movie watching and internet, there's no real award show that's like really picked by the people. I mean, the Webbies is one where you can vote for whatever, but there's no real authentic movie show or anything like that where you get real recognition for the people. People's Choice Awards? Who the fuck votes for People's Choice Awards? Who gets that and goes online and picks out all the fucking People's Choice Awards? I don't do that shit.
This is like probably teenagers.
Oh, teenagers. There's a show called Big and Rich that I had no idea existed. It had 70 million viewers in the United States. It's a reality TV show about skateboarding. I love skateboarding. I skateboarded the fuck out of skateboards for a long goddamn time. I had no idea it existed. And it was watched by 70 million people. This guy, he has a clothing line. It's called Young and Reckless. The guy from the Big and Rich show. And he went on to do... I don't know the other names of the shows. And he has a yacht and a fucking a bunch of like Lamborghinis and shit.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even know who the fuck this person is. There's a lot of big media that gets overlooked completely. Like 70 million people watching the Big and Rich show. Have you ever seen Big and Rich?
No.
I never even heard of the fucking show.
I didn't know it existed until
you just
said this. It
was an MTV show. Yeah. And so we have that problem. That's the first problem, is that we don't get to see everything. So not only can we not make informed choices because we just can't watch everything, but people are also incredibly dumb. Like, Twilight made ridiculous money. Like, fucking, like, world-ending money.
Yeah.
But it's probably the worst thing committed to paper in the history of mankind. There's only one Twilight drinking game, and you just drink every time the movie sucks, and then you die of alcohol poisoning 4 minutes into the film.
That sounds about right.
You start chugging until you can't see, and you die. And that's the Twilight drinking game. Watching Twilight's like watching the Ring video. You will die from watching it if you watch the whole thing back-to-back.
All of them back-to-back?
I wish that was true. If I had ghostly powers, the first thing I would do is turn Twilight into the Ring video. So every asshole who's dumb enough to watch those fucking movies dies 7 days later. Guaranteed, all our problems. Poverty, retardeds, famine, hunger, disease.
Would be cured by doing that to Twilight.
Done. And also, if people get concerned, like, there's a big talk about Dr. Kevorkian and assisted death. I, for one, am for assisted death, although I don't believe in suicide. But I believe if it comes to a point where your body can no longer function and you're suffering, you should be able to choose when you go. Or at least people should be allowed to have that choice. Personally, I wouldn't do it, but yeah. I think people should be allowed to have the choice.
Mm-hmm.
And now if you had something easily accessible, like a Twilight film, and someone wants to end it, they could just watch the Twilight film. But then I'd feel bad. I would feel bad because the last movie I'd ever see is Twilight.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
So then there's a catch 22 there when it comes to killing people.
Using the Twilight films.
Yeah, we got to find a better way to do this.
Obviously.
We want your suggestions. So follow us on Twitter, at Achilles, at Doc Hollywood, or
Dr. Raffle.
Dr. Raffle. And let us know what your suggestions are for
the best way to help.
Yeah, if you were going to assist suicide, how would you do it?
Yeah, let's find out.
Do you have any thoughts or feelings on assisted suicide?
Do I have any? Yeah. Or does the community...
No, do you have any? Like, I don't know. I'd let people die. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, I think it's kind of a circumstance thing, right?
Anything that decreases our population, I'm for. You know, like...
All right, go with it.
I would love to make a Daytona 500, but make it like the head-smashed-in run that the Buffalo had to go off of, where they just go off a cliff eventually. We just run them all, yeah, this is a track, and they're all the Daytona people are going down the track, and they all fall off a cliff and die. Once we wipe out NASCAR, we can wipe out a lot of problems.
Hey! Yeah,
no more Republican voters, no more gun nuts, no more Westboro Baptist Church. If there was one sport that the Westboro Baptist Church probably watches, it's probably NASCAR. You know, that's the one thing you can't offend people with. You're sponsored by Wonder Bread. Is there anything more wholesome than fucking Wonder Bread? And, you know, if we kill them off like we killed the Buffalo just on this NASCAR head smash and run, we not only would lower our fuel intake, like there's a lot of benefits to killing all these people. And I feel like I'm getting in trouble for saying these things when really I should be applauded for my problem-solving attitude.
Oh, yeah, it's just solutions-based.
You know, and it's weird. When I think about, like, Native Americans... When we kill all their buffalo, essentially that's like aliens coming to Earth and then blowing up all our oil fields.
Essentially,
because
yeah.
All their fuel came from buffalo. All their resources came from buffalo.
That's exactly what they did.
So what we did, yeah, that's exactly it. But if aliens want to fuck with us the way we fuck with the Native Americans, imagine if someone came in
just and took all the oil.
Just not only that, bombed all our oil fields.
Bombed all the
so
oil.
So there's like, no, not only will we take your oil away, we're going to destroy it so no one can enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's essentially what they did. You look around, and we have a weird population of ravens here. There was as many buffalo as there were ravens here. Like, when you look at old cave drawings and stuff, buffalo were fucking everywhere.
Oh, yeah, man.
And I don't know if anyone's, like, if you're listening, has been to India. In India, there's, like, they live with a lot of fucking cows.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just kind of a thing. You see them sleeping on the side of the road, whatever. You just drive around them. People are, like, pretty chill about it. They'll hold up traffic and stuff. And in India, like, a crazy overpopulated country, traffic holdup is a big deal, but they're still chill enough to let the cows cross the road. Imagine if we had to put up with that in Alberta. How many buffalo strikes would we have a year? How many people would die from hitting buffalo? Think about how many people die from just hitting moose or deer. And think about buffalo, 10 times the population of those animals. Think about how many of those would cause deaths. So maybe wiping out the buffalo was a good fucking thing. Because you can hit a deer and survive. My dad got hit by a deer really badly, destroyed his vehicle, but he survived. If he hit a fucking buffalo, game over, motherfucker. You ain't going forward.
Straight well, up. I'm not going to sit here and, like, agree that killing all the buffalo was a great idea on the behalf of our governments.
I was trying to entrap you to say that you hated Native Americans and you wanted us to take away the resources.
Well,
but you saw through the guys.
You know, I think that probably what would have happened is eventually there would have, like, the buffalo would have been at least, you know, taken down to a population size that was more functional for society to what it is today, like if it would have just been over the last 100 years.
Yeah.
But the reason why they did that was specifically to make it so the Native Americans had no more economy, because the Native Americans used buffalo. That was their economy.
Exactly.
That was their entire economy. That's what they traded for with everybody else, and that's, you know, they had their system down. Mm-hmm. And so they were like, fuck it, let's just kill their economy and they'll go with it because they have nothing else.
But they didn't go with it, and we're still having fucking problems with them. We gave them little plots of land so they can hunt and fish and do whatever the fuck they want. And sure, we poisoned their water and killed their people, but get over it already. Separate but equal.
Just get over it.
Separate but equal is never equal. And it isn't, though. It's like a real fucking problem. We have a big problem in fucking North America with the native rights issue. You know what I mean? Like, yes, okay, it was their land, but the whole prospect, like, people say, oh, it was their land. I mean, you do understand that if we were following their rules, it's not their land. They never claimed land. When the, like, when we came over and they're like, and people are like, can we buy this land for you? White people were like, can we buy this land? The Native Americans are like, you want to buy land? Are you fucking retarded? Yeah, good. Buy this whole thing, you fucking weirdo. Like, what the hell are they talking about buying land? Didn't make any goddamn sense to them. It just sounds so ludicrous. When you break it down, you're going to buy a plot of the earth. Like, this thing has been around for since literally when the earth was created. This plot has been there.
Yeah.
You want to claim ownership of it because you're going to give me this fake paper that you put dye on? It's like you gave me these constructed pieces of paper and now you own part of the earth. It just didn't make any fucking feasible sense to them. And so when people are like, oh, it was their land. No, it wasn't. It was everybody's land. They should understand that people will be assholes and start putting gates around fucking everything.
Essentially, because but when it comes, like, this is gets a little more of like a philosophical conversation in regards to, like, you know, your thoughts on the way the world is kind of structured within our economy and structures. But we have to just sort of like, what are we? Are we stewards of the land? Or are we owners of the land? Like, are we allowed to just rape and pillage the earth however we want? Because certain corporations certainly feel that way.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, how do you define that? Like, is as sad as it is, the earth is what the human population as a whole has.
Yeah.
And we have this whole earth to share, and we have this, like, greed and these other things that are fighting against us sort of, like, being stewards of the land to, like, pass this on to the next generations. Because you have, I don't know, and this is just gets into a larger fucking discussion about, like, environmentalism and a whole bunch of other shit. But to me, personally, like, I think that what happened with the Native Americans was pretty shitty.
Yeah, it was
and it's like it's like the goddamn prime directive in Star Trek. You know, don't go into other people's societies and fuck with their shit.
But we had to do it wrong a lot of times before we did it right.
And before we figured that out.
Yeah, right? Exactly. It's like African Americans who complain about slavery when really they invented slavery. And then when they went to Africa and these kings were like, you guys want to buy these motherfuckers? They're like, fuck yeah, we'll buy these dudes. And then they gave them money and they're like, we can do this? We can just get these niggers to pull cotton and shit? They're like, yeah, they'll till everything. And you can even breed them the way you want.
On your own, man.
You're on your own. Well, that's essentially what happened. It was like,
well, I'm not disagreeing.
You know, slavery wasn't something that's a construct of the white man. It's a construct of the Africans in the first place. Slavery was happening with them in the first place, and that's where the white people got the idea from. Now, I wouldn't say where they got the idea from. There's always indentured servants.
Well, there's always, slavery has been something that's been going on for thousands of years.
Yeah, I'm as not long as you have a monarchy or any
Africans
type of hegemony.
Invented it or anything like that.
But, well, the slave trade as we responded, like the way we did the slave trade in the United States is modeled after the way they did slave trade in Africa. Huh. They base it all around those things. And we kind of forget, like, we don't look back at those things. We think that, you know, a bunch of Europeans showed up on boats, stormed the land, and were like, let's just collect these black people, put them in cages, and get them to, like, pull shit out of the ground. Mm-hmm. When really, like, I don't know, if I was going to pick people to do shit, I'd pick, like, some weird peasants from Sicily. Those motherfuckers can till the goddamn land. If I saw a bunch of dudes in, like, fucking huts with loincloths, I'm like, these motherfuckers can't do shit. You know? I'm not really banking on these guys to do much. But then again, I wouldn't be a very good slaver on that point because blacks made the best slaves. Could you imagine if all the slaves were like from Poland or something, how little productivity we'd have in North America? You think, you know, US would be the superpower it was unless it was made on the backs of blacks?
Look at those. I won't disagree with that in regards to like the amount of economic development the United States were able to do relatively quickly because of having slavery. The ability to have slave labor.
Yeah.
Like that is something that is like, you know, a fact of reality. But
do you think
I don't even want to.
No, do you think black people in like Jamaica, when they smoke weed or wear cotton shirts, they're just like, fuck you, white people. Like, we were the ones tilling all the hemp and the cotton for the last 120 years. But now, motherfuckers, we're going to use the textiles. We'll make chinks make them for us instead.
Jesus.
All we did is we displaced slavery. That's all we did. We displaced slavery and we gave some people a couple pennies so it keeps people off our back. That's all we did. We put it into China. All we do is we go to like the most desperate places.
Well, in other third world countries, yeah. not necessarily just China.
Yeah, but I mean, but manufacturing in general.
That's what's happened.
China, yeah.
So as opposed to actually having slavery as a thing happening in our local environment, they just go to another country somewhere else in South America or, you know, wherever else they can find a third world country where people are literally, you know. And that's the rough attitude with the corporations is just like they were living in mud huts. They didn't have clothes. Yeah, but they were able to hunt their own food. They could survive. They had their own fire and told their stories and had their own society
totally.
In their little environment. Mm. And then the corporation comes in and says, well, no, we gave them food. Now they have water. Now they have clothes and they get, you know, pennies a day.
Yeah.
And they can barely make enough to survive. And they've lost that initial tradition and those initial skills they had in the first place. And then what happens is once they have to pay too much money to those people,
yeah.
like, because eventually regulations come in, governments start to say, you can't do this. So then they have to pay them.
Yeah.
Then those corporations pull out of that fucking area and go somewhere else and do it again.
Absolutely. And, you know, the reason why China's been so successful is because they don't do that. They just let it happen. They let them exploit the fuck out of the workers. Well, and when they're really big international incidents, they'll do a really good job of covering it up.
Yeah.
That's it.
Well, and they've like internally privatized that like within their culture and their country.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? The people rely on those pennies. And, you know, that's the thing. Like you look at like the guy, let's go back to that guy from Big and Rich. He started a clothing company. This guy from a small town in Ohio. He now has a yacht and all this other bullshit. How many Lamborghinis do you need? How many do you need?
How many do you need? Yeah. Zero.
Exactly. But if you want one, I totally, if you work really hard and you strike it big and you know, you find that bubbling crew coming out of the thing like the Beverly Hillbillies, and you got that money, motherfucker, treat yourself. Get yourself that goddamn, get that Lamborghini, get that McLaren F1, do what you need to do. But take a fucking second to kind of get a more global mind and drop some stacks on other things. There, I believe that there should be a max amount of money you should have. Anything after 40 million should be taxable. And if anyone thinks that would stop competition or stop hunger or stop people being hungry to make money, that's retarded because everyone will want to make 40 million. And everyone would want to be in that club where they can complain about, oh yeah, the government takes the rest of my money. I only have $40 million in the bank. This is bullshit.
Yeah.
But that great level playing field, how many of the world's problems would be fixed that way?
But see, not only that, what would happen is those people with that kind of money, they'd want to spend more of it because they could make more of it because they'd get to keep it.
But then they're stimulating the economy by putting money back into the economy.
Yeah, exactly.
And they're not sitting. There's literally billions of dollars that are being sat on for hundreds since John D. Rockefeller, where like, he first real billionaire, he sat on a lot of that fucking money, and a lot of that money made other people rich, and other people got rich off the interest and loans and whatever else that started a lot of banks like Goldman Sachs and stuff. They just sat on that money, so there's a ton of money just being hoarded, like these fucking rats on top of their own little mound of shiny objects, not letting anyone near it because they need to keep everyone else away. They can watch people die and starve and have horrible lives. Not only that, making life better. They complain about, you know, Mexicans selling oranges at their window when they're stopped at a stoplight, but they're not willing to put money into social programs to make sure that stuff like that doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
Which it's a weird thing. Like, you have the power to stop this. Or if they say, oh yeah, it's so horrible the things being done, and you see them eating at the Palm fucking 5 days a week, you know, having $300 meals.
Yeah.
I love that we have people like that. It's hilarious to me. Like, who else am I? If I'm allowed to criticize anyone, it's these people. I don't ever feel bad for the things that I say, because although I attack the lowest of the low, the people who get the most of my ire, my real ire, are those who have the most and give the least.
Yeah.
And that, fuck you, Steve Jobs. I hope you're rotting in hell. Someone who doesn't believe in giving to charity that has that much fucking money, and the only charitable donation you make is to your Republican fucking buddies, you can fucking rot in hell. You overcharge for your shit. They brought up the issue of the people being killed at the Foxconn factory. He literally said, word for word, it's not in his fucking book, but you can see this, who cares? His book claims he invented iTunes, the iPod, and the Mac. Steve Wozniak and God, what the fuck is that guy's name? That designer. There's this other designer, Johnny Ive. Was it Johnny Ive?
I can't remember.
I think it's Johnny Ive. He had the idea of tying a music store to a digital device, and that's how the iPod. But in his book, it says that he invented all these things, and no one ever says anything about it. So everyone who's in the cult of Steve Jobs can lick a dick, and that motherfucker's burning in hell. Hope his Eastern medicine fucking helped him, because he still died of cancer. Fuck him. And that's how we'll wrap up Offcast this week. Thank you for tuning in, and until next time, we remain podcasting.